Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like crepe banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hey. Hi, guys. Are you okay? I don't know. I hope you are. I'm recording this on Monday night. So I hope everything is all right and that everything's good. It probably not, but hey, life, it's funny, right? Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. I'm Christina Marie Hutchinson, your trusty host and the current voice in your head, and I'm happy to be here. What a time. Boy, just so much has happened to me the past week since I've talked to you last, and I haven't even really read the news. I ain't talking about that shit. Let's just not talk about it. The only thing I am going to say about politics, this is the only thing, I swear to God, it's the only thing. There have been men in pickup trucks driving up and down the street I live on. It's a major street in Manhattan. And I know that they're there because they blast country music so loud that the candles on my candelabra in my fireplace, they're shaking. They're rattling. They're rattling from these man's country music. And I was like, well, that sounds like you don't belong here, huh? But it's New York City. It's a free country. New York, we welcome everybody. And then I open my blinds. And what doth I see? I saw a pickup truck with all these Trump flags. And they're just yelling, yeehaw! I'm like, you couldn't be more of a dumb fuck hack caricature yourself, man. And then, I don't know why, my first reaction to that was, I gotta find something to throw at their window. Christina, what are we doing? We gotta relax more. You know, I've been meditating every day. Maybe it's not taken, or I gotta do it more. I don't know. But really have a strong desire to throw things at people. And can you blame me? It's a hard time. It's a hard time. I'm staying away from the news just because, boy, I got news in my head, and that's all the news that I can handle, and it ain't got nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. Guys, these shows that I'm going to be at with Corinne, maybe they're happening. So far, they are. But who knows with the COVIDs. But if you buy a ticket, it'll get refunded if we have to do a different date. So don't worry about that. But Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, November 19th through the 21st, Bricktown Comedy Club. Boom. Love it. Fuck it. Yeah. Baltimore, Maryland. November 27th and the 28th. Fresh off of Thanksgiving with your family or by yourself. Peace be with you, my friend. Magoobies Joke House. Magoobies Comedy. It's Magoobies. Magoobies. That's such a great name. Magoobie. Sounds like a poopy. Whatever. Guys, let's do some fuckboy theater, okay? We got some stuff for fuckboy theater. First, a woman emailed me three Tinder bios that she stumbled across in Richmond, Virginia. And she was like, I mean, I can't just, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You gotta laugh at this shit. Because if you don't laugh, you'll jump off a goddamn building. Congrats on not killing yourself, by the way. Seriously, good job. So here's one guy's Tinder bio. And I'll show you a picture. I'll describe the picture. So many thoughts. He looks like he could have been driving that truck down up and down my street with the Trump flag. He has, in fact, a button-up plaid shirt. Is it buttoned? Hell no. Are the sleeves torn off of his shirt? And not even in a nice way, like he cut them, like he fucking ripped them, or like a dog ripped them? Hell yeah. He got a hairy chest. And boy, does he have a giant golden cross around his neck. So me thinks he loves the Christ. I don't know. We'll see. Let's read his bio, okay? From Texas, working here for the next 2 years. No offense to people from Texas. Beyonce's from Texas. I love Texas. I'm just trying to make fun, guys. This is all we have. From Texas, working here for the next 2 years. Not looking for anything serious, but ain't against it either. If you can keep up, I'm 6'2", country as it gets. I speak my mind, so speak yours or don't speak at all. don't tolerate liars or fake people. A girl with personality and a sense of humor would be cool. Love anything outdoors, especially when it comes to water. If you don't like pineapples on your pizza, fuck off! Singer / songwriter, guitar player. If you don't like pineapples on your pizza, fuck off, motherfucker! Get on out of here, motherfucker, if you don't like pineapple on your pizza. Boy, I tell you, I love my pizza and the pineapple wearing the cowboy hat. Hey, if you don't make yourself laugh, you're going to kill yourself. So just please bear with me. And he didn't write fuck off. He wrote number sign, at sign, dollar sign, percentage sign, because he didn't want to say the word fuck. Oh, this fucking piece of shit. His name's Eric. You can go suck my dick, Eric. His bio reads anime. And please, no ugly girls. Like, if you don't think I'd be attracted to you, please don't swipe right, because honestly, you just cloud up my messages.
Oh, we do, Eric. Sorry, my gremlin face clouded up your messages.
Not trying to be an asshole, but just saying. What the fucking shit? She didn't show me. She only sent me a screenshot of the bio. Again, these are people's Tinder bios.
I don't think they're the good representation.
Oh, this guy needs to fucking meditate. No ugly girls, please. I just want to make a bunch of fake profiles of just beasts, like cartoon beasts. And I want to hit Eric with all of them at once. Just fuck off, you know, you piece of shit. All right, next asshole. And don't worry, we're ending with a girl. So buckle up, bitches. This guy is, you know, his profile, he's wearing a pink button-up shirt. Because real men suck dick. So he looks okay. He looks fine. Not ugly. Handsome guy. Let's see what his bio says. Is it nice? Probably not. Ready? This is Jesse. Wait, what voice do I want to do? Do the other one again, because it's so fun. Okay, Jesse. I pulled out of over 50 solid nines and tens. Now I'm 30, and there isn't a five that doesn't already have kids. Again, this is his Tinder biography. Why would you ever have kids before you're 30? Stop being bitches, and everyone else, stop being ugly.
Oh, okay, Jesse, I'll stop being ugly. Thanks for saying something.
I'm not done, guys. This is his Tinder bio. I'm not done.
No liberals that disagree with everything. No big, smelly, stupid dogs.
Oh, you can go on and fuck yourself, Jesse.
Especially ones that shed. Because God forbid Jesse gets some dog hair on his pink button-up, y'all.
I'm not done. Again, this is Jesse's Tinder bio.
If you have a parent that remarried another person, that would be another no for you.
What the fucking shit are these expectations? Oh, and then the last sentence of his Tinder bio.
I dislike most tattoos.
Fuck off. God. Jesse. No liberals that disagree with everything.
Well, then, I'm not the bitch for you, Daddy.
No smelly, stupid dog. So methinks Jesse got bullied by a dog when he was a child. It was probably his childhood dog. You know, there's probably only one instance of a dog bullying a child, and it's the one that Jesse had. It's the one that Jesse's divorced parents had. They bought it after he came home from camp, and they were like, surprise, we're not together anymore, but we did get you this big, smelly dog. And then the dog was like, fuck this kid. And Jesse was like, I thought dogs are supposed to love you unconditionally. And the dog was like, yeah, but you don't count. And he was like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna have a vendetta against dogs forever. And that's Jesse's story. Okay. All right. So this last conversation I'm gonna read. Oh, man. This is wild. So a woman emailed me and said that she's in a band, and one of the male members of her band was telling her about this girl that he was texting for the first time, and she sent him her screenshots of these texts, and she said she was shook. And so she sent me the screenshots, and I read them, and I was pretty shook too. So here we go. I mean, it's just, okay. These people have met before. This is not on a dating app. This is texting, okay? So this guy's first text to this woman on, let's see, October 20, I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't matter. Hey, how are you? What's new? Who dis? And then a couple hours later, she says, oh, you just wanted to hack into my phone? Okay, great. Should have just said that. Buenos noches. And then about 10 hours later, she says, in all caps, death is upon you for taking my baby. One of your loved ones will die within 7 days. You took my baby. And then he didn't respond to that because what do you say? And then a couple hours after that, she texts, who the fuck is this? Let me guess. And then she says the F word for a slur, the one that's a slur. Let me guess, a name Alex. And like I said, 7 days, bitch, what's good? Oh my God, I'm already dead, so what are you gonna do with me? What are you going to do with me? What the fuck are you gonna do with me? You take my baby, I take yours. Tell me you ain't got no kids. Crying laughing face emoji. This is on all caps, still. Y'all shouldn't have fucked with my baby. Stop playing God. You can't not make decisions like that. Well, I don't get that. That was my fucking baby. And Alex, you are so full of shit. Talking about I'm faking? Faking what, bitch? Bitch, I've been crying all morning because my... Oh, her baby died before... My baby died before my eyes as a sacrifice to a fake God. Well, now I have a lot of questions. And I don't... What? You motherfuckers will pay. That was my baby. Alex, you are a psychopath. Yeah, I feel like... Yeah, maybe Alex is not... I don't know what mental hospital you escaped out of, but I will see to it that they put you back in that straitjacket. Karma is already on its way back to you. You should have never taken my baby. God is always on my side. This is not in all caps anymore, so I'm not gonna yell. God is always on my side. If he allowed you to take my baby, it's because you were not the right one for me to have a baby with. So I will be at peace knowing this. And I wish no harm on anyone. Wait, I gotta go to the next part. I wish no harm on anyone and their family. That's nice. I choose positivity and love and light always. Gracias. Stay blessed. And then the guy who just got that girl's phone number and was like, who is this? And what? And scene. Guys, I don't know what happened. We can only surmise. But I hope that that woman is okay. And I hope that we're all okay. Fuckery or not. You know, I feel like this time... is bringing all the crazies out of all the people. Everybody's capable of crazy. Everybody has crazy in them. Sometimes you let it out in a fun way by doing arts and crafts or doing a little dance in your apartment when no one's watching. Sometimes you see a guy driving down your street blasting music so goddamn loud that your candles vibrate and then you want to throw something at him and then you're like, Christina... No, we're not going to throw things at people. And then you're like, wow, I'm really a parenting myself. Good job, me. I feel like I'm in the fucking, I don't even know. Whew. I got to go outside more or something. But then going outside doesn't really help. It's just, what are we to do? You know? So if you're feeling a little Looney Tunes, trust me, every other person on this planet is with you. And I say it'll pass, but I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows? Like I said, I'm recording this on Monday night before the Wednesday that it comes out. And so I don't know what the fuck's going to happen, y'all. Who knows? But my friend, who I love, she has a daughter who's 5, who I love. She's the cutest person. She's cute because she's a little kid, but also her personality is just goddamn adorable. Anyway, she texted me and she was like, oh, would it be okay? Could you watch, you know, her kid? And I was like, oh my God, please. I want to hang out with the child. I need to hang out with a child because let me tell you something. My apartment, it's like a child who has a bank account furnished it, you know? I got FLARP. I got whoopee cushions. I have all kinds of colored pencils, very sharpened, of various hues. Like, I'm talking, like, not just, like, typical rainbow colors. Like, I'm talking, like, 8 kinds of greens, 10 kinds of purples. Like, I am ready to hang out with a kid. And I'm so excited. I got games. But I do have to, when her daughter was here last, she peeked up into my loft, my magical loft space. It was a little bit of a mess. So she, right before, as they were leaving, I was like, oh, Izzy, you want to see the loft? And I showed it to her. And then she was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, right? I'm like a kid with money. And then they left. And so I'm assuming she'll want to go back up there and hang out. And I got to do a good old sweep of that loft. Because I just went up there and I was like, I think I should remove some stuff before the kid comes over and we hang out. There's like 8 vibrators up there and a shitload of weed. And I'm like, yeah, that's not kid friendly. Not even a little bit. So I gotta do a sweep of my apartment and just put all the inappropriate things in a box. And one of the inappropriate things I gotta put in a box are all my sticky notes, because I record guys we fucked here. So Corinne comes over and I don't, you know, when you put positive affirmation sticky notes around your home, you don't want anybody to see them, you know? And you're always gonna forget to take at least one down. And then your friends getting water from your fridge and you're like, oh fuck, I didn't take the sticky notes off the fridge. God damn it. I gotta take down all the sticky notes. Cause I feel like to a kid, if a kid was like, Christina, why do you have all those sticky notes? It's like, well, honey, my mommy didn't give me the love and tenderness that I required all the time as a child. So I'm trying to give that to myself for the first time. And it's, man, it's slow going, but let me tell you, practice makes perfect, okay? I just feel like that's a dark concept to explain to a child. I'm so excited to hang out with a kid. But yeah, I gotta take down all my positive affirmation sticky notes. Cause like when Corinne comes over, I'll take them down, the ones I remember to anyway. And then she leaves and I put them right back up cause I need them there. And I have sticky notes like, I'm proud of you. Like all the things that I need to hear that I'm not getting from, I don't have a romantic partner, which is great. That's honestly such a blessing, because then I can figure out what do I need for, honest to God, probably the first time in my life. So that's been nice. But I'm, you know, parenting myself. I'm learning to parent myself. So I have all these positive affirmation sticky notes that say, like, I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. Like, that's what they say. And then I accidentally left a couple of them up last week when Corinne and I were recording. And she was telling me that she kind of like roasts herself and bullies herself, but in a fun way. Like the notes that she leaves around her house are like, you know, fuck off, you piece of shit. You know, like just, you know, meaner ones. And I was like, that's an interesting concept. I'm going to try that. And so I wrote, I have a dry erase magnetic board on my fridge. And I put quotes and shit on it. I change it every day. It's like a little classroom. And the other day I put, work harder, you lazy fat fuck. And honestly, every time I get something from my fridge, I see it and I crack up. So there's something to that. Work harder, you lazy fat fuck. That's hilarious. You know what I mean? But you gotta live, you know, I do feel bad for people who don't live alone. You gotta hide that shit, you know? I don't know if I'll ever be at a place where I would be so comfortable. That's intimacy, motherfucker. You're so comfortable with yourself that you don't care if your roommates or your boyfriend or your friends see your positive affirmation sticky notes. I wonder if that's a place that I can get to. But the thing is, the point in me writing these things is that I feel so comfortable doing it because I know no one's going to see it unless I forget to take them down like a fucking fat, lazy fuck. But like, work harder, you lazy fat fuck. Is this, I gotta say, write it on a sticky note and put it there. Unless, you know, you have this deep-seated fear, or, you know, maybe you do need to work on your work ethic or your weight or something. Like, so if you're like really upset about those things, obviously don't bully yourself with that stuff. But I'm always kind of insecure about it. Am I working hard enough? And so, but it's funny. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I love roast battles. I love getting roasted. I'm not a great roaster. Guys, I haven't had the opportunity to stretch my muscles yet, but I love being roasted. Holy shit. When you if you make fun of me, I mean, when you make fun of me and it's not a roast, I my feelings hurt and I cry. But when it's a roast, boy, it's so funny. It's very therapeutic. It's very therapeutic. So, yeah, and I need to start, you know what, so I'm working with this spiritual coach lady, and I will give you her name and her info when we're all done with the beta program after I've honed in my psychic abilities. I don't want to share her with you just yet, but every Sunday we're meeting and we're doing these meditations. It's wild, man. We worked on channeling. Whew! I mean, it's cool. The shit that you can do with your mind is absolutely insane to me. And when you get in the zone of like really meditating and the spirituality shit, I gotta say, I highly recommend it. Because you get out of it what you put into it. And you can do some crazy shit if you get real good at meditating and channeling and stuff. I mean, whew. But one of the things she gives me homework assignments, which is really good. And one of them was to take note of, she wanted me to take note of cognitive distortions. And those are basically thought processes that, you know, your brain being an asshole to you, basically. And that can drive you into a depression or give you anxiety. And it's really just a matter of, you know, changing what you tell yourself when you're alone in order to feel better. And she gave me this spreadsheet from David Burns, who I read his book. I love David Burns' Feeling Good. She gave me a spreadsheet on these distortions. Anyway, she wanted me to write down any time that I feel like I talk negatively to myself. And at first I was like, well, I'm just a sweet little flower to myself. I love myself and I think I'm great. And then I was like, well, I'll try if I, you know, think of, you know, if I catch myself saying anything mean. Boy, when you turn the focus on, hey, am I saying any shitty things to myself? I mean, at least if you're me, you realize, oh, goddamn, I'm saying a lot of terrible things to myself. Like a lot of negative things. Not nice things. So I need to, that's why these sticky notes really help. I'm like, you're a good person, Christina. You're a good person. I feel guilty. I feel like I owe everyone everything. Even if I've just met you. I'm like, how can I help you? Do you need money? What do I need? Like, not even money, but just like, I just feel like I owe people things. And keeping track of all the negative thoughts, one of the main solutions to these most of the negative thoughts that I've experienced is, bitch, you don't owe anyone shit. You only owe yourself some stuff. And that's just be honest, be vulnerable, work hard, you lazy fat fuck. But I really feel guilty so much more than I realized. Oh, man. And I feel like I know the roots of where that came from. So So she gave me these. I want to read these to you because I think that you would benefit from them. She gave me this worksheet. And it's cognitive distortions. And the cognitive distortions are all or nothing thinking, overgeneralization, mental filter, discounting the positives, jumping to conclusions. I know some people who do that. Magnification or minimization. Poo-hoo, you speak in my language, doc. Emotional reasoning, should statements. And that's, I think, what made her send me this form, because I said, I'm like, I keep telling myself I should do this, I should do that. And it's like, what the fuck off, Christina? You're doing what you're doing and you can, you know, analyze your way of being, your way of life, the way you go about the world, what you know, the food you eat, all the shit that you should. It just makes, I make myself feel so guilty by saying I should do this or I should do that. Labeling and personalization or blame. So I'm going to go through 10 forms of twisted thinking that relate to each one of these terms that I mentioned. So for all or nothing thinking, here's an example of that. You see things in black or white categories, which my therapist told me is like child brain thinking, but also like trauma brain thinking. Ooh, we're learning, we're growing. If a situation falls short of perfect, you see it as a total failure. Yeah. When a young woman on a diet ate a spoonful of ice cream, she told herself, I've blown my diet completely. Oh, crap. This thought upset her so much that she gobbled down an entire quart of ice cream. Well, God damn it. That feels personal, huh? God, I do that so much. All or nothing thinking. I do that with everything. I'm either the best or the worst. Okay, so overgeneralization. Here's an example of overgeneralization. See if you can relate. You see a single negative event, such as a romantic rejection or a career reversal, as a never-ending pattern of defeat by using words such as always or never when you think about it. Oh, crap. A depressed salesman became terribly upset when he noticed bird dung on the windshield of his car. He told himself, just my luck. Birds are always crapping on my car. That's so funny. I mean, I do that. I don't do that with birds crapping on my car, but I do that with romance. But you know, there is a pattern. So, but who's the common denominator? Your girl. Okay. All right, so here's an example of mental filter. See if you can relate. I bet you can. You pick out a single negative detail and dwell on it exclusively so that your vision of all of reality becomes darkened, like the drop of ink that discolors a beaker of water. For example, you receive many positive comments about your presentation to a group of associates at work, but one of them says something mildly critical. You obsess about his rejection for days and ignore all the positive feedback. Shit, I do that. Yo, but the thing is, I appreciate all the posted Instagram, I've been posting nudie tudes to my Instagrams, some nudes. And there's only two people maybe out of all the nudies that I'm posting that are like, you don't have to be such a whore. You know, that's not exactly what they said, but, and all the positive comments, I'm like, thank you. Yes, thank you. I know. Thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Yep. Mm-hmm. Expected that. Thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Yeah, you're right. Okay. And then one person's like, you know, you don't have to do that. I'm like, what do you mean, bitch? Fuck you. I will go to your profile. I will look at your life and I will roast you. I mean, what a waste of time. Do you know what I'm saying? So mental filter. Got to get a better one. My Brita filter hasn't been replaced in 32 years, man. Oh, goddamn. Okay. All right, let's move on. Discounting the positive. You reject positive experiences by insisting they don't count. Ah, fuck. If you do a good job, you may tell yourself that it wasn't good enough or that anyone could have done as well. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Discounting the positive takes the joy out of life. No shit. And makes you feel inadequate and unrewarded. Yeah, a little bit. I am very proud of myself, though. So it's a balance. Number 5, jumping to conclusions. You interpret things negatively when there are no facts to support your conclusion. Mind reading. Without checking it out, you arbitrarily conclude that someone is reacting negatively to you. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's personal. Fortune telling. You predict that things will turn out badly. I know a lot of people do that. Before a test, you may tell yourself, I'm really going to blow it. What if I flunk? This was written in the 90s. If you're depressed, you may tell yourself, I'll never get better. Yeah, that'll keep you in a depression. All right, 6, magnification. You exaggerate the importance of your problems and shortcomings, or you minimize the importance of your desirable qualities. This is also called binocular trick. Well, that's a shit trick, isn't it? 7, emotional reasoning. Twisted thinking. You assume that your negative emotions necessarily reflect the way things really are. Like I said, feelings aren't facts, motherfucker. But they are clues. They are clues. They are clues. I feel terrified about going on airplanes. It must be very dangerous to fly. Or I feel guilty. I must be a rotten person. Oh, yeah, that's what I think. Okay. So yeah, we're still in emotional reasoning. So it's, you assume that your negative emotions necessarily reflect the way things are. Okay. Yeah. So again, feelings aren't facts, but they are clues, motherfucker. Get out your treasure map and let's go hunting, huh? I feel guilty. I must be a rotten person. Or I feel angry. This proves I'm being treated unfairly. Wait, it doesn't? Oh, I guess it doesn't. God damn it. Hey, we're still learning. We're still growing. It's a never ending process. Or, I feel so inferior. This means I'm a second-rate person. Yeah, that's true. Or, I feel hopeless. I must really be hopeless. Shit, I do emotional reasoning a lot. Well, so do you probably too. should statements. Ugh. You tell yourself that things should be the way you hoped or expected them to be. After playing a difficult piece on the piano, ew, that's about me, a gifted pianist told herself, I shouldn't have made so many mistakes. This made her feel so disgusted that she quit practicing for several days. Musts, oughts, and have-tos are similar offenders. Should statements that are directed against yourself lead to guilt and frustration? You don't say! Should statements that are directed against other people or the world in general lead to anger and frustration? Yeah, a little bit. Quote, he shouldn't be so stubborn and argumentative. Oh, crap. Guys, we got a lot of work to do. That's like all you hear. Many people try to motivate themselves with shoulds and shouldn'ts, as if they were delinquents who had to be punished before they could be expected to do anything. Shit, that's true. I shouldn't eat that donut. This usually doesn't work because all these shoulds and musts make you feel rebellious and you get the urge to do just the opposite. Dr. Albert Ellis has called this musturbation. I call it the shitty approach to life. Well, guys, we got puns. Over. We got puns, Houston. LOL. They're not that funny, but that's okay. I'm a professional comedian. You're not. And it's okay. I forgive you. Over. And labeling. Let's look into that, guys. We probably all do this fucked up shit, huh? Labeling is an extreme form of all or nothing thinking. Instead of saying, I made a mistake, you attach a negative label to yourself. I'm a loser. You might also label yourself a fool or a failure or a jerk. Yeah, I'm a real jerk. Labeling is quite irrational because you are not the same as what you do. Put that on a goddamn sticky note. Human beings exist, but fools, losers, and jerks do not. Are you sure? These labels are just useless abstractions that lead to anger, anxiety, frustration, and low self-esteem. That is not incorrect, so he's got a point. You may also label others. When someone, like a fuckboy, when someone does something that rubs you the wrong way, you may tell yourself, he's a son of a bitch. Then you feel that the problem is with that person's character or essence instead of with their thinking or behavior. Oh yeah, I see that. You see them as totally bad. This makes you feel hostile and hopeless about improving things and leaves little room for constructive communication. Well, that's a good reminder, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to do one last time. One more. Personalization and blame. Personalization occurs when you have yourself, when you hold yourself personally responsible for an event that isn't entirely under your control. When a woman, of course the woman, when a woman received a note that her child was having difficulties at school, she told herself, this shows that was how what a bad mother I am. Instead of trying to pinpoint the cause of the problem so that she could be helpful to her child. When another woman's husband beat her, she told herself, if only I were better in bed, he wouldn't beat me. Oh God, that's so sad. Personalization leads to guilt, shame, and feelings of inadequacy. Some people do the opposite. They blame other people or their circumstances for their problems, and they overlook ways that they might be contributing to the problem. I know some of those people. The reason my marriage is so lousy is because my spouse is totally unreasonable. I feel like the actual words that were said were a little harsher than that, but okay. Blame usually doesn't work very well because other people will resent being scapegoated and they will just toss the blame right back in your lap. It's like the game of hot potato. No one wants to get stuck with it. Well, I'll be goddamn. You know what? Maybe I should do that book before we get to Feel Your Feelings January. That would be a good one. Because by the time we get to Feel Your Feelings January, get ready to cry, motherfuckers. Get ready to cry. Get ready to fucking cry. So I was reading all of these cognitive distortions and examples of them. And I was going over them and I was like, you know what? This was on last Tuesday night. After I recorded this podcast, I was going over them. I was doing my homework. I went to bed. I was going to go to bed early. And I was just feeling, you know, fragile last Tuesday night. And I had, you know, I organized my house and I was always clean. Well, not always clean, but I clean it when I'm stressed out. It really helps me. It's very meditative. And I was sitting in my office at my desk and I was going over my spiritual homework because I'm a good student. Because if I don't, what else am I? I'm a failure and I should just die, huh? just kidding. And I was going over these cognitive distortions and I was drinking my water because I was trying to stay hydrated. And I was like, wow, you know what? My mom does a lot of this stuff. And then I was thinking to myself, how do you tell a person that they are thinking in cognitive distortions? You can't. It's not really something you could say to a guy. You know what I mean? Especially if it's a parent. I feel like therapists, not all therapists are good, that's for sure. But the good ones, the ones that I've experienced, really give you time to come to your own realizations. Like, they kind of gently guide you. And for me, if I, you know, I'm on this whole new wave of understanding myself and how I work and how others work. And I could kind of see your wounds by your behavior, you know, and it gives me more empathy for you. So thank me later. I'm just kidding. And so I was like, how do you tell? I'm like, how do I, as I still hadn't talked to my mom, and I was like, how do you tell a person that they think in this way? And I mean it out of love. I really do. But I was just thinking about that to myself. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a note to ask my therapist that on Thursday. Because that's when I see her. I see her on Thursdays. And I was writing in my spiritual coaching journal. And I was drinking. I had one of those nights where I was like, you were a good girl tonight, Christina. You stayed hydrated. You ate well. Like, I have all these lists. And if I don't check them off, then I'm a piece of shit person, I guess. I really got to get over that, guys. It's so stressful. And that's why I smoke weed a lot. Because my inner critic is a bitch and a half. And I was just thinking about that. I'm like, oh, you know, I want to write my parents a letter, you know, because I had FaceTime with my dad the week prior. And, you know, it was emotional and hard. And I wasn't sure if we got somewhere, but I kind of hoped we did. And then, you know, the funniest thing happened. So the next day, I woke up to several missed calls. Now, waking up to missed calls is always a terrible thing. I've never had an experience. Okay, so I'm doing all or nothing thinking. I gotta rephrase that. God damn it. It's okay, Christina. You're doing all right. You're trying. It has been my experience that the majority of time, pretty much 100% of the time, that I personally have woken up to missed calls, I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. And I woke up to a bunch of missed calls, and they were from the people who raised me, my parents. And they said, now, you know, your girl ain't good in the morning. I'm not thinking clearly. It takes me about an hour and a half to start thinking clearly when I wake up in the morning. I've been that way my whole life. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not ashamed of it. Not bad. It is what it is. If I could figure out a way to change it, that'd be cool. But haven't figured it out yet, but that's okay. So it takes me an hour and a half to just come, you know, just not be discombobulated. I wake up to a bunch of missed calls and I was like, oh, fuck that shit. And then I noticed they're from both my parents and I was like, oh, fuck, I hope everyone's alive. If they're both calling me, that's a probably. And they were alive. And my mom was around the corner from my apartment. And I was like, wait. And you know when you get the information that something is happening that you know, you're like, oh, I'm not gonna have a good reaction to this one. It's like I read the words, I'm across the street from your apartment. And I was like, okay, I read these words. And it is of my understanding that shit's about to go down. So, that's interesting. And then there was a lot of texting in all caps, much like that woman, the poor baby. I don't know where the baby went, the fuck girl, whatever. You know, texting in all caps. Because it's not, you know, the time to startle me is not the morning. It's not any time ever, but definitely not the morning. And so I was like, okay, Christina, in about 5 minutes, you're going to have a panic attack. I don't want to. I tried the breathing. I tried the earth breathing that my therapist told me. You know, you sit with your feet on the ground and then there's a ball in the center of the earth and it comes up one leg and it goes up to your navel and then it goes down the other leg. Oh boy, did I do my earth breathing. I went upstairs and I was like, no. And then there's all these positive affirmation sticky notes of like, I love you, I'm proud of you. And I was tearing them down and I was screaming, fuck. Like very loud, like screaming it. Cause I was like, I don't know what to do right now. Woo! Okay. And I was like, all right. And then the panic attack, it ensued. And maybe it ensued because I knew I was going to have it. And it's like, well, of course you're going to have a panic attack with that attitude. Okay. So I was like, all right, cool. I wish I had wrote you work harder, you lazy fat fuck on my fridge. Cause that honest to God, if I wrote that and I saw that in the midst of like screaming that my mom had completely violated the one boundary that I set, which was, I don't want to see you in person until I'm ready. I feel like if I saw, work harder, you lazy fat fuck, I probably would have laughed, and I might not have had a panic attack, to be honest. I'll say that for next time. Anyway, yeah, she was across the street, and I was like, oh, that's, and I says to myself, I says, Christina, girl, we got to do a team meeting. You and you and me and all of us. We're going to do a team meeting, and cool. Okay, so there's something happening that you don't want to happen. How do we fix that? Call my therapist. Didn't answer. Cool. That's fine. It's an off day. I don't talk to her on that day. I don't talk to her on Wednesdays. And I was like, and I left her a voicemail. I was scream crying. So I was so mad. And then I was like, wait, Christina, you have some control of what happens. And I was like, you sure I do? And I was like, yeah, you do. Just pretend you do. Okay. And I was like, okay. I called my brother. Thank God. If you have a parent with a mental illness, or if you have a parent, which honestly, fucking most parents, okay? Most human beings, all right? No one is perfect. But if you have had a tumultuous childhood and you have a sibling that you love and respect who gets it, my God, there is no better medicine to your mom violating the boundary and showing up to the city that you live in and being across the street expecting you to go to the diner and talk to her than calling your fucking brother and yelling, not at him, but yelling. And he was like, yo, Nina, he called me Nina because when I was a kid, I couldn't say my own name. So I was like, I'm Nina. So he's like, Nina, I don't know. Oof, that's a tough one. I'm like, yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit of a tough one, huh? Woo, okay. And I was very angry. And I was basically yelling at her to my brother. But then my dad was texting me, basically saying, like, go over there and fix it. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now I got both of you on my ass? Well, that's some hell that I don't want to be part of. So I was just texting my dad back in all caps. And I was like, I can't believe you fucking let her do this. What the fuck? I was so, so mad, you guys. I was so mad. But I was like, hey. This too shall pass, right? That's mad true. And we're going to figure this out. So I called my brother and I screamed. That was very helpful because I was like, DJ, if I see her, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. He's like, well, we don't want that. And I was like, no, we don't. And so, but it was very important for me to just yell and scream to him. I needed to be heard and seen by somebody who understands. And the only person I had, because my therapist wasn't answering, but that's okay, she probably was another client, was my brother. Thank God he picked up. Oh my God. Thank God. Because also too, a lot of times in my life when my mom would make me react in such a way that I felt like I was about to explode, I would always rely on a close friend that I don't talk to anymore or my boyfriend. And I didn't have either of those. But it was kind of a beautiful moment because it's like, wait, you ain't gotta look for solace in anybody else except you, bitch. And I had a powwow with myself. My therapist called me back and I was like, well, thank God. And she was like, oh my God, Christina, this is nuts. What the fuck? Like, you know, she was pissed and I was like, that helped because I needed to be seen. I needed to know that I wasn't crazy for going apeshit over this. And I still didn't know. And then, there was the point where my buzzer to my apartment started ringing. I was like, oh, word. Yo, word. And I had to close my blinds. The one fucking boundary I set, man. The one boundary. And I was like, wow, they do not hear me when I speak. It was in that moment. I'm so glad that this all happened. I'm actually very thankful that these boundaries were crossed because they were crossed in such a glaring way that I was just forced to face the fact that they do not see me, they do not hear me. When I speak to them about how I feel, that goes into the ether. And that's really important to me. So, and I said to myself, I'm like, don't go out there. Don't go out there. And then she was right outside my door. And I was like, okay, what are we gonna do? And I, there was some more phone calls, not with them, but with family friends. I'm like, I got family friends call me. And I'm like, oh, Christ almighty, you know? And I closed my curtain and I didn't answer. And, but it was like, you know, I forget if I talked about it on this podcast. There was one nightmare I had from my childhood where I was in a, I think I talked about it last week, actually. Christ. Where I was in this castle and it was raining and I didn't, my mom was like half robot, half person. And she was like, you know, sparking everywhere. And I didn't want to let her in, but I had to. My therapist was like, that's a metaphor for how you felt. I'm like, yeah, it is. But this was literally, she's at my door. And I didn't let her in. In fact, I blocked. I go, wait a second. I don't got to take this. I don't have to. There's such blatant disrespect of my boundaries. And just so nowhere near, no one, neither of them have been hearing me. The past couple months, the things that I have said, they have not heard me. And it's, I will not take that ever again. And there's something wild, man. When you don't realize that you've been letting people walk all over you, whoever it is, for a period of time or for the whole your whole duration of that relationship with whoever, said person, it really does something to the other person when you set a boundary. It really, it's like a trigger. And that's sad to me because if a boundary that I'm setting is a trigger for somebody else, fuck, come on, man. I'm doing this for my own health. And you're acting like I'm slitting you, like cutting you open with a knife. But it was in that moment of just peak fucking chaos of my buzzer ringing, of family friends calling me. I had to get out the door because I had a doctor's appointment. I had an eye appointment to get my eyes exam. And I was like, well, I'm not leaving now. Jesus Christ. And then... she eventually left and I realized, I was like, wait a second, if you're treating me, just, I'm not getting through to you and I'm not going to waste any more energy trying to make you understand where I'm coming from, because that's what I feel like I've been doing my whole goddamn life. And so I blocked, I forget you could, I mean, I know you could block people's phone numbers, but I just didn't ever even think of that. Like, that didn't even cross my mind as something you could like legally do. Like, I don't know why. I've blocked people's numbers before. Oh, I've blocked people's numbers before. But I just didn't even, and I did it and I was like, this is what it feels like? Is this what it feels like? Oh, goddamn, is this what it feels like to stand up for yourself? It was, what a time, guys. And all of this work that I've been doing on myself, getting to know myself, getting to understand my past and get like unraveling it and so that I can pick myself back up has really, I think it, all of the work I'd been doing really came to a head last Wednesday when I just did what I had to do and I stood up for myself. It was a nightmare. Well, no, it wasn't a nightmare because I didn't let her in. But it's weird, man. I mean, I know people email me a lot saying like they get the stuff that I say about my relationship with my mom. They really, really, really resonate with, and they've never heard anybody talk about it like that. And I hope more people can be honest with themselves about the relationship they have with their family, with their friends. It's really hard. It's really hard. It's a little heartbreaking too. But learning to stand in your own power, as they say, feels fucking good. It feels really good. And it's almost like, it's not a high, this is how I know it's right. It's not like this high where you want to just like get wasted and run around the block or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's this like, it's a calm, stoic high, if that makes sense. Of like, just, I did what I had to do. It was not easy. But I'm proud of myself. And then I looked back, I was of course crying all day. And then I came back to my apartment and I was just in tears. Not really, actually. I wasn't as hot of a hot mess as I guess normally would have been had that happened any other time in my life. I don't know. And I looked at all these sticky notes. And I was like, I'm proud of you. I'm like, well, fuck off, man. But I was. I was like, I really am proud of myself for doing that. Not easy, man. And you feel, I felt so goddamn guilty. Woo. It's wild to feel so guilty, but to logically know that you did nothing wrong. What a mind fuck, you know? What a mind fuck. It's like, you know, I've been watching that Hurricane show. And I think I always consume art or television or learning songs that really have to do with my life at the moment. And then I realize it a little bit in and I'm like, oh, shit. But this the hurricane is a perfect metaphor for what's been happening inside my head the past couple months. And it felt like I was in, I guess, the eye of the storm in that it was just calm. But not like, okay, the rest of that hurricane's gonna come and kick your ass again. It doesn't, not in that way. I don't know. It just felt, I felt very calm, which was nice. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I feel wildly guilty and so proud of myself at the same time. What a fun cookie that is, you know? So spooky. Happy Halloween, y'all. Well, Halloween's over. But goddamn, was that the spookiest night of morning of my month. Jesus Christ. I can't, and I mean, there's still blah, and I'm like, when do I say something? I don't know. Do I write them? I feel terrible. I hope they're okay. I love them very much. But goddamn it. I needed to show some fucking guts for myself, and I did. So that's really nice. So I feel weird. I feel like a different person in a way. I don't know how to describe it yet because the dust is still settling. So hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully nothing. I'm not going to say hopefully anything. I'm just, this is where I'm at. It's such an odd, it's such a weird place. But you know, figuring it out. So that was really, and I didn't shove it down. I was very vocal about it to, like, you know, the people I had to work with throughout the week. And, you know, my friend Donna, who I fucking love, she's totally understands that stuff. She's had experiences of her own and we've shared them and it's been very, very helpful. We've had kind of, you know, had some similarities with not being parented the way that we needed. And so it's been really great to do things with her with the new New York stuff. I mean, I feel like she said it and it's so true. We're creating all the parties that we wanted to give ourselves as children and we couldn't. So I feel like that was great. And we had this past Saturday, man, very proud of us. It was such a busy day, man. I was so stressed out the night before because I was like, there's just so many things I need to remember to bring. Ugh. But I was like, Christina, you could do this. You could do it. Yeah. So the Donnas, which is her, not organization, way of life. I don't know. It's the Donnas is her project, and it's a beautiful project that is all encompassing of food, of women, of people's stories, of hardship, of all this beautiful stuff. The flowers always grow through the cracks, and that is to me what the Donnas is. And so we had a tie dye event during the day at Cafe Belle. Her friend Noelle owns Cafe Belle, such a gorgeous cafe. Holy fucking shit! I never gave a shit about Italian pastries. I was like, yeah, whatever. Sweets give me a stomach ache, so I don't really like them. That Noelle at Cafe Belle makes the most delicious sweets that don't hurt my stomach. I don't know what she does, but they're so good. So Cafe Belle is the meeting place for the new New York pop-up comedy shows that we did. So we had a daytime event where we tie-dyed t-shirts that said New York Ain't Dead. And it was like a 1-year celebration of the Donnas. And Noelle made this beautiful cake. Oh my God, it was a beautiful day. And then one of our friends who, she's grown to be our friend, she was a fan of podcasts, and she's just a great woman. Her name's Kylie, and it's at End of Story NY is her like design page. She's really talented. She did all my merch, the Baze Von Blades merch. She's so talented. She was there helping us with the tie-dye, and she kind of spearheaded the tie-dye event for the day portion, and her mom was there. And her mom's like this cool lady with like purple hair and glasses. And she's a scientist. And I was like, oh, you have a good mom. You have a nice relationship. That's cool. Shove it down, Christina. Push it down. Not today. Like seeing a woman and her mom function, I was like, I can't take this. I'm very happy for you, but And that like triggered me. Woo! But I shoved it down because I didn't want to lose my shit on this tie-dye event because it was a fun day. And that thank you to everybody who came to it. It was really wonderful. I left a little early because, you know, so that was 1 to 4. And then 7 o'clock was the show. We extra sold it out. We had like 60 plus people in the alleyway. It was really fucking cool. Everyone was really good about the masks. We had a crazy lineup of comedians and we ended it with a drag performance. And in the middle of hosting the show, I turned off. I shut down in the middle of the show and I was like, I can't. And Donna had to go up there with one of the comics, Shane, to like give out awards for like worst, most okay quarantine and least okay quarantine. Like it was a fun thing we did a couple shows ago. And so that, and I was like, push it down, Christina, not today. Cause you know, if you're a stand-up comedian, a lot of times you will get bad news or terrible things will happen and you'll have a flashback or you could trigger right before you have to go on stage. So inconvenient, but you learn to shove it deep down in a hole. And I just couldn't shove it down. And I like almost had a fucking panic attack on the street. And I was like, D, can you go up and introduce next comic? Because, you know, I'm having a time. And she was like, absolutely. And I was like, thanks, girl. And then we had this big dance party planned at Pier 35. We had scouted it out a couple weeks prior just to see the pier was publicly open until 1 a.m. We're like, that's perfect. Out, obviously, very open air, big space, gorgeous pier. I mean, the view, you're staring at the Brooklyn and the Manhattan Bridge. And it's just unreal. The views were absolutely incredible. And there was like a stage. And I was like, this is the perfect dance floor. So we were like, okay, we're having a dance party at Pier 35 at 9:30. Let's go. So after the stand-up show, we had this dance party and we had Kylie and her a bunch of her friends. I purchased glow-in-the-dark balloons. I got some helium tanks. And they were setting up while the comedy show was happening. They were putting all these balloons all around the pier because we wanted it to just be this magical night. And we get to, D and I get to the pier, you know, a little ahead of everybody. But Kylie, they had been there setting all these balloons up. And Donna was like, oh, it's, you know, it's this crazy full moon tonight. Write down something that you want to let go of. Put it on a piece of paper and just throw it out into the air. And I was like, can it be multiple things, Donna? And she was like, yes, it can be multiple things. And I was like, that's good because I got a couple. And so I wrote them down and I just start crying. And then I just, you know, flung them into the air. And then we walked out onto the pier and it was just so beautiful. Like what we had imagined when we were like scouting it was just like, can you just imagine just like balloons everywhere and there's music and it was exactly that. It was exactly that. And then we were dancing and we didn't know if people were gonna come. But a bunch of, you know, a couple people came. There was like maybe 20 of us dancing on the pier. And then about 20 minutes in, a group of 50 to 60 rollerbladers with like glow sticks and like music pumping rushed the pier. And all that, we were in the middle of dancing, and all of a sudden they just rollerbladed onto the pier and onto this stage area. And then we all, like 100 of us, were like dancing. We all were wearing masks. And I was like, whoa. It was one of the most magical experiences. It felt very special. I was like, what the fuck? And I just started crying. And I was like, this is amazing. It was so cool. And so, you know, the point of the story is, guys, sometimes life is like, but you gotta put the you gotta love yourself. And I know it's such a trite, overused phrase, but it is for a reason. You really gotta sit with yourself and figure out, what do you need outside of any other human being on this planet? What do you need? And how can you give that to yourself? How can you be gentle with yourself? And I swear to God, if you just keep it up, you know, if you put one brick down every fucking day, you lay one brick down, one brick, in a year or two, you'll have a whole fucking house. And you'll go, holy shit, you know, this whole healing journey, it feels very overwhelming most of the time. Figuring yourself out, understanding yourself, wanting to improve yourself, it feels hopeless and overwhelming a majority of the time. But I promise you it's not, okay? I promise you. And Dee and I have so many exciting
events that we're planning that are going to be digital. So you don't have to be in New York. You could be anywhere in the world. We want to do something for New Year's, possibly something for Thanksgiving. And I don't know, we're throwing ourselves all the parties that we didn't get when we were little girls. And I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me. I'm excited for Dee. I'm excited for just that little morsel of, it was a big morsel, not even a morsel. It was a whole fucking cake of hope that I got with the, it's just, guys, magic is possible. And it is possible to live your life and experience copious amounts of joy. And with that will come pain. And that's okay because you can handle it. It doesn't feel like you can. But you just got to breathe. You got to look at your refrigerator and you got to read those words. Work harder, you lazy fat fuck. And then you go, ha, ha, ha. And then you just take everything a little less seriously in a good way, in the best possible way. Guys, I love you. Congratulations on not killing yourselves. I'm proud of you. We got this. It ain't an easy road, but no journey worth going on is easy, or whatever the fuck Socrates says, or whoever the fuck says whatever they say. You know what I'm saying. All right, I'll talk to you next Wednesday. There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost. See the end of the road while you're traveling.